If you care to read along with me this evening, I'll ask you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. I want to begin a reading lesson there, starting with verse 25. Luke, chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to read that verse again. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's reading there from Luke 14, beginning with verse 25 and reading through verse 35 and finishing that 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to speak this evening about the right way to serve the Lord. And again, I want you to keep in mind the things that Jesus said here concerning being one of his disciples. Now, you know, in this particular Bible that I have, it has little up here above, it has the thought there listed of what the scriptures are saying, and these little captions there. And where I began to read there in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and go on through that chapter, my Bible here says that this is about the cost of discipleship. And I really believe that we live in a world today, and perhaps in many ways have become too much like this ourselves. But I'm afraid that people want to serve without sacrifice. If it's convenient, if it's convenient for us, we don't mind doing it, but we certainly don't want to pay anything for it. We don't want to have to pay a personal price in order to do that. We want to serve without sacrifice, but serving the Lord has never really been that way. And God's people, those that have served him throughout the years, there's been some very identifying marks. And there's been ways that I believe that those people could be identified by things that they would do. And people could look at them and they could say, well, those are the people of God. I want us to think, those of us here tonight that have been saved, I want us to think for a little while about who we are and what we're here for, and how that we are to carry out what the Lord has left us here to do. You know, it doesn't really matter what we think of ourselves. It's what the Lord thinks of us. It's what, you know, not necessarily us doing what we think is right. It's what the Lord has told us is right. And the blueprint is here in His Word. And we're going to look at some of these things here this evening. But those of us that are saved, I want you to think about, go back with me for a moment, and think about when you were seeking the Lord for the salvation of your soul. And you know, anybody that I've ever known that has had a, what I believe, a real genuine experience with the Lord, somebody that has a real testimony of being born again, anybody that I've ever known will tell you that in order to be saved, they had to give everything up to the Lord. You know, we couldn't, you know, we couldn't have anything that we wanted more than salvation and be saved, because if there was anything that was more important to any of us than being saved, then we would have never been saved, would we? I mean, we can see that plainly taught with what the Bible tells us about Christ and that rich ruler when that man came to him, and he didn't want to give up his worldly possessions in order to have eternal life. He the things of the world were more important to him, and so he went away sorrowful because of that. And so in order to be saved, we've got to give it all to the Lord. We've got to desire salvation more than we desire anything else in life. And we also know that in order to be saved, that we had to seek the Lord with all of our heart. I mean, we just had to pour everything out before God. We had to seek Him with all of our heart. And the Bible teaches us that. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, I believe it is, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." And so we had to do that in order to be saved. You know, you can't search for the Lord and find Him with a half-hearted search. You've got to seek after Him with all your heart. And when we do get saved, we need to serve the Lord. We need to spend the rest of our days on earth serving the Lord and living for Him. We are not to, you know, those of us that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, those who are His people, the Bible teaches us that we are not to live unto ourselves, but we are to live for the one that saved us and called us to be His saints. And when in doing that, we need to serve the Lord in the same way that we sought Him for the salvation of our soul. We need to give everything to Him. We need to serve Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And we need to be the people that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, we need to have this mindset that he set forth to them in an epistle when he told them that they had been purchased. They had been purchased. That's what redemption is all about. We've been bought. We've been purchased by the Lord. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "You are bought with a price." And we know that price is the blood of Christ. That's what he used to redeem us, the precious blood of Christ. And so Paul said, "You have been bought with a price. You're not your own. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so we need to understand that we no longer belong to ourselves. We are the Lord's. We are His purchased possession, and we need to serve him in that way. And I think in a lot of ways, as the Lord's churches throughout the land today, and I'm sure thankful that the Lord's churches are still here in this nation. I'm glad that we're still here, that we're still meeting, that we're assembling. But I'm afraid in a lot of ways that we have become casual Christians. We've become casual Christians. In a lot of ways, we're not serious enough about what the Lord has left us here to do. I'm afraid that in a lot of ways, we don't take into consideration too often who we really are and the responsibility that the Lord has given to us. He left his church here for the purpose of carrying out the commission that he had given to her to go into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, and upholding the ordinances, and teaching those converted to observe all the things that he has commanded us to do. When the Lord set up his church, he intended for the members of every local church, he intended for us to be more than church attenders. You believe that? That he left us here to do more than attend church? Coming to church and assembling together is a wonderful thing. And I believe it does some great things for us. And we're taught in the Bible that we are not to forsake that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are to assemble and we are to worship the Lord collectively in that way. And when we do, we gain strength from that. And maybe we get our tanks filled up a little bit so we can go back out and serve the Lord. But the Lord left us here for more than that. And his word teaches us that. If we look at what Jesus said here, you can't really serve the Lord unless you love him more than you love everybody and everything else. We can't please the Lord without that. We can't, according to what Jesus said here, we cannot be his disciple without doing that. Jesus didn't, words that he spoke here, as we find them recorded in the King James Version, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to hate our children. He doesn't want us to hate each other in the way that we think of hate. But certainly we have to love him far above the way that the love that we have for each other, the love that we have even for our own children or grandchildren or whatever the case may be. Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ has to come above everybody and everything else in the world. Or Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. We've got to bear our cross. He said, "You have whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And I've wondered how well that they understood this at the time. They had not yet witnessed the Lord going to the cross. Perhaps they understood this. Perhaps it had a greater impression on them once that they had done that. Maybe they saw a greater idea of the burden that he was telling them that they would have to carry. But Jesus taught us that there's a cross for all of us. There's a cross for all of his children to bear. And in order to be his disciple, we've got to bear our own cross, or we just can't be his disciple. When the church, any church, and we need to always remember this, and Jesus said here that the salt is good, but if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? He said, it's not good for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. And whenever a church, or as I said, any church, whenever we are not what the Lord left us here to be, and when we don't do what he left us here to do, then we're of no use to him, are we? And the Lord, I believe he made that very plain the things that he said to the seven churches of Asia there in the first few chapters of the Revelation. You know, if you don't do what I tell you to do, if you don't do the things that I left, if you don't carry out the things I left you here to take care of, then you're of no use to me. And so the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and we've got to maintain the truth in order to be productive and in order to be what he left us here to be. But the Lord, his people, those that he has called to be his saints, those that have sought him through repentance and faith, placed their trust in the Lord and been saved by his grace, and have obeyed him and followed him in baptism, followed him in obedience and uniting with the church, and received scriptural baptism. You know, we testified to the world when we did that, that we had been changed, that we were not the same anymore, that we had been saved. And our baptism is an outward testimony of the inward change that's taken place, in that we're testifying to the world that we're different now, and we are symbolically stating that through baptism, that the old man is being buried and the new man is rising up to walk in a different way, to live a different way, to walk in the newness of life, and not to do it casually, but to do it with great urgency and with great devotion and great dedication in serving the Lord. We don't even get far enough along to all come together for all the services that we have through the week, do we? We don't. I mean, we may as well face the facts. I mean, you know, look at the number tonight compared to those here this morning. I mean, we drop off drastically. And the same is true, you know, throughout the week, through the midweek service. We don't even accomplish that. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more to serving the Lord than what we do here when we assemble together to worship. Jesus told his church, and we find it in the fifth chapter of Matthew in verse 16. He said, you're the light of the world. Boy, we live in a dark world, don't we? I mean, we live in a world where sin abounds and it gets darker all the time. And he said, you're the light of the world. We are the body of people that he left in the world to shine out into the midst of dark, into the midst of the darkness of sin. And if that light that's in us be hid, if the light that's in us be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so we are the light of the world. We are those that were left here to point people to Christ. And we can't accomplish that just by assembling.
Jesus said to his church that we were to be the light of the world, that we were to be witnesses of him. Witnesses of him. And he left us here to be missionary and to go out and to into the highways and the hedges and to work, to be mobile, to witness to those that we come in contact with. And we have opportunities all the time. We do. Do you believe that God will open doors for us? We have opportunities all the time to be his witnesses, to witness to people, to share our testimony, to share with them what Christ did for us and what he's able to do for them, to share with coworkers and neighbors, and to be witnesses, you know, outside of the sanctuary where we meet to worship. Now, really, think about it. When we're all gathered here, when we're assembled together, we know each other. We share a kindred spirit. It's not really that difficult in a friendly environment. It's not really that difficult here for us to share our testimonies of one with another. It may be more challenging for us to do that, you know, out there in the world in different circumstances, but we are to do that. We are to serve the Lord in that way. We are to realize that when we leave here, when we come and we assemble for worship, that when we leave here, that we're going out to the mission field. We're going out there where people are lost and need to hear about what we have to say. And that's something that every child of God can do. That's something that every member of the church can do, that all of us can be witnesses for the Lord. We are to live a life that is acceptable unto God. Acceptable unto God. Like I said, not acceptable unto you, not acceptable unto your spouse, not acceptable unto your children, but we are to live a life that is acceptable unto God and the things that he has told us in his word. Look at Romans chapter 12 in the first two verses. The apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, I beg you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Unto who? Unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I said that there's more to what we do in our service to God. There's more to what we do than just coming together and worshiping. But I'm going to tell you something. When it's time to assemble, when it's time to be here, we ought to be here. When it's time to assemble, we ought not to forsake that. And when it's time for us to assemble, and there are things that are more important out there in the world to people, that and I'm talking about saved people, Christian people, when there are things out there in the world, when there's entertainment going on that is more attractive to them than being in the house of God, worshiping God, being with their brothers and sisters in the Lord, then that's a great failure. It is. That's wrong. That's just wrong. And you can't make it right. Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. The things of God ought to always take priority. Always! The things of the Lord ought to always take priority. And I'll tell you what, and I know this is not the case, but I'll stand on that tonight if I'm the only one that believes it. Because I believe the Bible makes it very, very plain. God will not have anything or anybody before Him. He just won't. He's either first in your life or He's not pleased with your life. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what He was teaching about being a disciple. You come to Me, if I'm not more important to you than your mother, your father, your children, your sisters, your brother, your houses, your land, whatever it is, if I'm not more important to you than any and all of these things, then you are not qualified and you cannot be My disciple. Remember reading about, I believe maybe it's in the 8th chapter of Matthew perhaps, but remember about reading about the man that came to Jesus and he said, oh, I want to follow You, Lord. I want to follow You, but there's some things I want to do first. Let me go first and bury my dead father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow Me. In the 3rd chapter of Matthew, or maybe the 4th chapter of Matthew, when the Lord began to call His disciples, when He began to call those men to go out and preach the gospel, He passed by Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they were right when He called them. They were involved in their livelihood. They were fishermen, and they were mending the nets, and they were taking care of the things concerning their livelihood. And Jesus came by and He called those men and He said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that they straightway, they immediately left their nets and they followed Him. I mean, they gave Him top priority when He called them. I know there are things that we have to do. We all do. But we cannot allow them to be, to prefer them above the Lord and above the things concerning His work. He's left us here with too important of a task to not do that. And so we need to put Him first in everything that we do. The work of the Lord is the most important work on the earth. It's the most important work on the earth. We all have a job that's greater than any other job that we have. As I said, we all have things that we have to do, but we all have something to do that's greater than any other task that we have here on the earth. To be God's children, to be His church, to be His witnesses, to be His people, to be His people according to His blueprint, according to His teaching. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Living sacrifices. That's what we are to be. Holy, acceptable unto God. I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope this will strengthen us all. I really do. We need to be serious. I mean, we need to really be serious about who we are, about what we've been called to do, about what the Lord expects of us. We need to be the people that God expects us to be. Not what we expect of ourselves, but what God expects us to be. You know, listen, the very moment that God saved us, each one of us, the very moment that He saved us, He changed us. He changed us. We did not only become someone that was going to get to go to heaven when life was over, but we became people that He expects us to serve Him, to serve Him rightfully, to serve Him in an acceptable manner, to serve Him according to His word, to serve Him according to His teachings, to serve the Lord the way that He told us to. You know, God's a stickler. He's a stickler. The things that He says in His word is the things that He expects of us. And so I want you to think about that, about the high cost of discipleship, the high cost of service, of being somebody that tries to yield to the Lord in the way that He has taught us. That's what we need to be as a church. That's what we need to be. We need to be a church that is pleasing to the Lord. We need to be that in our individual lives. We need to be somebody that's pleasing to the Lord. All the ways of a man are right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He looks at our hearts, and He knows what's in there. Brother Ernie or Brother Strode, whoever would like, let's have a song. I appreciate your attention tonight. Those are the thoughts that the Lord placed upon my heart. I pray that it will strengthen us. We need to be doers of God's word and not just hearers of His word. You know, we don't need to be like that man that James talked about, looking in the mirror and turning around and walking away and just forgetting who we are, forgetting what we even saw. So we need to be doers of the word. We need to apply His word practically to our lives. And Jesus, you know, when He talked about carrying the cross, also recorded in this same gospel, He said it's something that we are to do daily. Whoever will come after Me, let him take up his cross daily and follow after Me. Let's sing.
166.